Let me now turn into our AI strategy. Over the last several quarters, we have talked about our AI strategy through three pillars: powering AI system with our data, building an AI-native product ourselves, and expanding distribution through the AI ecosystem. We are seeing strong progress across all three. First, we are powering LLM and AI agent. We continue to see strong demand from leading AI companies for our digital data for both pre-training and post-training use case. But we are also seeing increased demand from AI agents. Agents need trusted, structured, and comprehensive information about the digital world in order to perform their task efficiently. Our data is good for both human and agent, and that is becoming increasingly important. Second, we are building our own AI native products. Gen AI intelligence is shaping up as a huge opportunity. It's a lucrative, fast-growing market that is top of mind for every CMO and executive at large enterprise right now. We're already seeing an early sign we can win here and become a leader at this category. Our solution helps brands understand how they can show up across generative AI platforms. We think it's an entirely new category, and our data give us a real edge. And earlier this year, we launched SimilarWeb AI Studio. The response has been extremely strong. AI Studio changed the way people interact with SimilarWeb. Instead of needing to know exactly which report to open or which data set to use, user can simply ask a business question in natural language and receive an actionable answer with insights and recommendation. This dramatically expands who can use SimilarWeb. And importantly, it creates a new consumption-based monetization model. We believe this is the direction the industry is moving. Third, we are expanding distribution. Increasingly, research and decision-making are happening inside AI platforms. So we want SimilarWeb to be there. Our data available through MCP on Claude and ChatGPT. During the quarter, we expanded our relationship with Perplexity to bring SimilarWeb digital data directly into its AI-native workflow. And we expand our partnership with Manos following the successful launch of SimilarWeb data on the platform. Those partnerships are more than integration. They are new distribution channels for SimilarWeb. They allow us to reach users who we couldn't not reach through our traditional go-to-market motion. They expand our TAM, and they reinforce our position as a critical data layer for AI-driven research and decision-making. So now, let me walk you through what I believe is happening. First, our core business is getting healthier. Growth retention is improving, NRR is inflected, sales productivity is improving, and we are seeing better expansion across enterprise customers. Second, our enterprise strategy is working. We are seeing larger contracts, longer commitment, more multi-product relationship, and increasing demand from the world's largest companies for our digital data. And third, AI is dramatically expanding the opportunity for our data. It creates new customers, new use cases, new distribution channels, and the new ways to monetize consumption. Those three things reinforce each other, and this is why I believe Q2 represents an important inflection point for SimilarWeb. And as I have to say before, AI is the engine, but data is the fuel. Regarding the CEO search, we are making good progress, and we are interviewing very strong candidates. And with that, I will hand it over to Ran, our CFO.
Thank you all. It is a great feeling to deliver a strong set of results and raise guidance for the year. I'll provide highlights of our financial performance and guidance for the third quarter and the full year of 2026. Turning to our quarterly results, we generated $77.2 million of revenue in Q2, a 9% increase year over year and above the guidance range we provided. Revenue growth was driven by good performance across the book of business, including new sales and upsells, as well as growth in AI-related revenues that reached 13% of revenues in the second quarter, up from 11% at the end of the fourth quarter of 2025. I would like to remind you that the second quarter of 2025 provided a tough comparison for this quarter. We expect revenue growth to accelerate in the second half of 2026 supported by the growth in ARR in the second quarter and the accelerated momentum in our business, as Or discussed. Non-GAAP operating profit for the quarter was $6.5 million, reflecting an 8% margin compared to $2.4 million in the second quarter of 2025. Non-GAAP operating profit was also above our guidance range, thanks to top-line growth and disciplined cost control that more than mitigated FX headwinds. We continue our efforts to offset the headwinds to profit presented by the strengthening of the Israeli shekel versus the U.S. dollar. As a reminder, approximately half of our employees are based in Israel. Non-GAAP finance expenses was $108,000. Non-GAAP tax expense was $1.2 million in the quarter, compared to $86,000 and $1.2 million in the second quarter of 2025. To help with your modeling, we expect these items to remain approximately at these levels on a quarterly basis for the rest of the year. Non-GAAP diluted earnings per share was $0.06, compared to $0.01 in Q2 2025. ARR contracted under multi-year contracts continued to expand to 66% of ARR from 57% last year. We believe that this metric is very important and demonstrates the durability of our revenues and the importance of our data to our customers. Good cash generation and strong balance sheet are critical for a business at any stage. We generated $8.7 million of normalized free cash flow and 11% free cash flow margin despite the FX headwinds. We believe we will generate positive normalized free cash flow on a quarterly basis going forward. We ended the quarter with approximately $73 million of cash and cash equivalents and no debt. We also have an available line of credit of $75 million. Our remaining performance obligations, RPO, totaled $345 million at the end of Q2, up 26% year over year. We expect to recognize approximately 66% of total RPO as revenue over the next 12 months. The growth in RPO provides us with confidence in our full-year guidance. We're also proud that our deferred revenue increased to a total of $141 million, a 21% increase year over year. In Q2, overall NRR was 100% across all customers and 107% for customers with over $100,000 of ARR. We are proud of the improvement in NRR in the quarter, which came through earlier than expected. We expect further improvement in NRR over 2026. At the end of the second quarter, we had 1,815 customers with ARR above 25,000, compared to 1,809 in 2025. This sequential trend reflects our decision to prioritize go-to-market resources and focus on large-scale opportunities within our existing customer base over smaller inbound SMB deals. Consistent with this focus, the average account value for this cohort grew 19% year over year to 149,000. The number of customers to ARR over 100K increased to 473 at the end of Q2, up 9% compared to 2025. Average account value for this customer cohort increased 18% to 438,000 compared to 2025. We believe that accounts generating more than 25K and 100K of ARR that account for 90% and 69% of ARR respectively demonstrate that SimilarWeb is an enterprise-focused data company. Moving to guidance, for the full year of 2026, we are raising our revenue guidance range and expect total revenue in the range of $340 million to $380 million, representing approximately 12% year-over-year growth at the midpoint of the range. In Q3 2026, we expect total revenue in the range of $80.5 million to $82.5 million, representing 7.5% year-over-year growth at the midpoint, accelerating versus Q2 2026. For the full year, we are raising our guidance for non-GAAP operating profit to be between $24 million and $26 million. Non-GAAP operating profit for the third quarter of 2026 is expected to be in the range of $7.5 million to $9.5 million. With that, Or and I are ready to answer your questions. Following Q&A, Or will share some closing remarks. Operator, please open the line for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To remove yourself from queue, you may press star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And we'll take our first question from Raimo Lenschow with Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. And congratulations. That's an amazing evolution. Or can you talk a little bit more about those customers that you signed and they're kind of showing up in the pipeline? Is this kind of using similar rep data in a much broader sense than we've seen classically? And, you know, in theory, if that's the case and we open it up for more end users, then in a way, the sky is the limit because, like, you should, like, every single customer could do a lot more with your data. So that it sounds almost like we're at the beginning of a very great journey here. Can you talk a little bit more on that?
Yeah. So first of all, yes, thank you for the question. And yes, you're right. The most advanced enterprises are now realized that with AI, they can first crunch much more data, and they can get much more better insight and recommendation, and the ROI dramatically for the same data is now much higher, and they can consume much more data. So we're seeing this trend. It's very exciting, and we're very happy about it. And we think that we continue to see this great success with onboarding more enterprise to use our data in that approach.
And then, Ran, like, if you think about it, like, where are we sitting on this new approach of getting against big enterprise? Where are we on sales capacity, et cetera? Like, you know, can the organization kind of support the growth that potentially is coming your way? Thank you.
Right now, yes, we are set up correctly. We're starting with the engagement we currently have in our book of business. We already work with the biggest and best enterprise in the world, and we start rolling up, you know, and start increasing those engagements.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Congrats.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Ken Wong with Oppenheimer & Company. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Fantastic. Thank you for taking my question. I think you guys mentioned that, you know, NRR potentially could trend up still. I'm just looking at the levels. You know, it is a big step up. What gives you the confidence there? How much of that is mechanical? I recall you guys already were exiting at a pretty high rate after Q1. And how much of that is kind of underlying activity that you're seeing that gives you confidence that that number could keep trending higher?
Yeah, we have a very, very high confidence because the NRR we report to the market, as we said, is the average of the previous four quarters. And because we know that this quarter NRR was very, very high, we already know that the next quarter NRR will continue to increase.
Got it. Understood.
And Ken, just to add on that. We see very strong, or mentioned it in the prepared remarks, we see very strong GRR trends. And the changes that we did at the beginning of the year, that the account management are more focused on expansion, the CS are focused on GRR, we already see the fruits of this change. So we see very strong GRR that continues to be at a very strong level. And on top of it, the account management that are focused on expansion provide us with the confidence that the NRR is going to increase.
Understood. And then, or just on the really strong pipeline results, again, fantastic in terms of what you guys saw in Q2. You know, when you look at the quarter, how much of that execution was, some of the labors from last year. You guys kind of refreshed the go-to-market. You added capacity. How much of that is, as you said, truly an underlying change in terms of some of the customer actions, like where data is now kind of proliferating across organizations, or is there still more of that to come?
I think, as I said in the earning, a lot of it came by just focusing the people on doing the right thing that can produce the highest outcome. You know, one of that that we changed and took some of our best people and just put them on the ALO team, we call it, the strategic sales team, to build better, bigger relationship with the top enterprise and basically unlock this potential. So just moving those priorities, including the account manager, focusing on expansion, all of those decisions of changing strategy really are bearing the fruits. So this
Thank
is
you very much.
The result of that.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Arun Bhatia with William Blair & Company. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, team. I'm Lilo on for Arjun Bhatia. Nice quarter, and thank you for taking your question. A couple of quarters ago, you saw some variability in, I believe, two large AI deals. I believe you closed one last quarter, but can we get an update on the second? Is that still in the pipeline, and how are you thinking about the timing of closing it?
Yeah, funny enough, the second one is still in the pipeline, and we still think that this is another nice big surprise that can come at the end of the year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Patrick Walravens with Citizens. Please go ahead.
Oh, great. This is Kincaid on for Patrick. Thanks so much for taking the question. Super excited to see this narrative playing out for you guys. Is it possible to get a little bit of color when I think about